Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone.
It's terrible getting old, isn't it? Mark just did the intro to the program with the microphones turned off. Now you're being passive-aggressive to yourself as well as to me.
All right.
What do you call it when you're passive-aggressive toward yourself?
Self-abuse, I guess.
You could call it that.
All right. It is Indigenous Peoples Day plus one here. It is October 15th. We're halfway through the month of October. More importantly, we're 2 weeks away from Christmas or Halloween. See, I told you, we're declining here. October 15th. So welcome on board, everybody. It's the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Mark Lawrence here. Rob Setter, our fabulous producer. And Mr. Joe McGranahan is here on the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at SunburyMotors.com. Our toll-free line is wide open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. I think we'll be wrapping up our impeachment discussion today. You can email us at On the Mark.
Really? Is it going to be resolved at the end of the day? Was I,
by the
did
end
I miss
of our
something?
Show.
Oh, great.
Right.
Hey, finally, we can move on.
No, we'll give it up until tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as two individuals have done. And you can text connect us, as three individuals have done, so we can read some of the messages that we have received. Mr. Joe, what do we know?
Well, we know that Tom has a bee under his bonnet again this morning, or a burr in his saddle, whichever way you want to refer to it.
Our emailer, Tom, who sends us good show-starting notes.
He does today. He's always, every day, worried about impeachment in one form or another. But this morning, he says, as usual, Dan from New Berlin is extremely confused. The transcript he constantly references is not a transcript. The phone call between Trump and the Ukraine president was a half hour long. This brief of the call can be read in 10 minutes by an average reader. Where is the other 20 minutes? And there are about 12 question marks
there.
It's
a memo. It's not a transcript.
Right. What is on the other 20 minutes? Another 9 question marks. The whistleblower knows, as do others who listen to the call, the full transcript was locked up in an area only used for top secret information. Why? What was released was very damaging. On top of that, we have the ruthless Rudy and now two recently arrested thugs to use as confirmation that Trump was up to no good. We even have Trump's confession on national TV. We also have House testimony from folks directly connected to this debacle. The pieces of the puzzle are coming together very nicely. Dan and Joe probably think Trump sent ruthless Rudy on a paid vacation to the Ukraine, and the two thugs were his escorts. Fog, fog, fog. But I can still see. Tom's got the third eye going there. He says, P.S., either the United States will destroy ignorance or ignorance will destroy the United States. That's a quote from W.E.B. Du Bois. So what do you think? Is Tom off base again as usual?
Well, yeah, he's right. The transcript, people call it a transcript. It's not. It's just a memo about the call with a couple of highlights in it, but it doesn't describe everything.
And well, it wasn't taken down by a court stenographer who caught every word. But the sense of it, no one's arguing that the sense of the conversation was a lie.
Well, if you were criminally involved, would you release a memo that had your criminal involvement listed in it?
I might if I didn't think I had done anything wrong. But I suspect I would have had advice before I even considered doing something like that.
Okay. So, yeah, the president is guilty. Everybody knows
is,
it now.
There was nothing on the call, nothing on the transcript of the call, or whatever you want to call it, memo of the call, if we want to make Tom happy, that indicates there was a quid pro quo. He said, unless you take the words and we need, I'd like to ask a favor, or I need a favor.
Mm-hmm.
If you consider that a threat, if I said to you, Mark, I need a favor, would you automatically assume I was going to threaten you with something?
Well, no, but if you are, if I know that you are withholding or capable of withholding financial aid for my country, and it's millions of dollars, which we need in a sustaining fashion, and we know that you are interested in having us help you in your next election by making sure that Joe Biden is fully investigated, or Hunter Biden is fully investigated, or that a prosecutor who hasn't found anything is fired. I would certainly know then, if he knows what we know, it would be obvious that that's where we're headed, is it's a quid pro quo, and plus he wants China to investigate. So it's obvious he wants other countries to help him to find dirt on Joe Biden so that he can influence the next election that information.
There were two other stories. We said we were going to try and take up some other topics today, but maybe we can spend about 5 minutes on this. There were two reports this morning on CNN, and every time they mention Biden, the Bidens, they always say, you know, the allegations against Biden completely debunked or completely baseless.
I heard that. Isn't that
every
funny?
Single time they say that, you know, but yet if there's a charge against the president, they never say without evidence or, you know, there's nothing here. But Hunter Biden himself has come out and made a statement about his past business dealings at home or abroad. He said to ABC's Good Morning America, he maintained he did nothing improper in serving on the board of a Ukrainian gas company, but acknowledged it was poor judgment on his part. In his first interview since the overseas business dealings came under scrutiny, Biden said he did not discuss the board seat with his father except for one brief exchange that was previously reported. Of course, his father said that never took place. He never talked to his son about his job with Ukraine. Although President Trump has repeatedly hammered Hunter Biden's ties to China and the Ukraine, the latest cloud of suspicion came as Republicans pointed to the resurfaced 2008 reports in the New York Times and the American Spectator. The articles, written as Barack Obama and John McCain vied for the White House, found that Hunter Biden received consulting fees from the financial services company MBNA from 2001 to 2005, while his father, then a senator, was pushing successfully for legislation that would make it harder for consumers to file for personal bankruptcy. Don't see anything odd there? Nothing that should be investigated?
But this is the way Washington and Harrisburg work, with everybody wielding influence and selling family ties. I don't think it's proper, but that's what's being sucked into the vortex in Washington or Harrisburg entails. Look at all the work that Merle Phillips did for the chiropractic industry, because he had a son who was involved in the industry. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, certainly his son knew what good changes in Pennsylvania laws that would be beneficial to patients and the chiropractic industry and healthcare as a whole. And Merle Phillips was in a position to make that happen. There wasn't anything untoward about it. It was simply an informed person. But Representative Phillips did this on multiple occasions to make sure that these laws got heard. And
but as you always say to me, we're not talking about Merle Phillips. We're talking about Joe Biden and his
son.
Well,
I'm just saying this idea of selling your connections and making sure that somebody has somebody's ears, that is the butter of buttered bread in Washington, D.C., and it's not illegal, and everybody does it, and the president does it, and Joe Biden does it, and now...
Well, then why are we having an impeachment proceeding? If everybody does it, everybody uses their personal influence for their personal gain, why are we singling out Donald Trump to impeach him?
It is illegal to use U.S. military or aid dollars to withhold them so that another country
They have them. They weren't withheld. They were held up, but they weren't withheld.
Right. It's illegal
a difference
to temporarily
in the
withhold them until you get your way from another
country.
But
it was at least 30 days between the two, according to every story I've seen.
All right. Well, we're going to find out.
But in any event, the precise amount of the payments was unclear, but a company official said Hunter Biden was receiving at least $100,000 per year retainer. Now, Biden, now 49, previously had been an executive at MBNA beginning in 1996, but the consulting fees came years after his departure from the company as a full-time employee. Don't find that funny.
Well,
it's completely debunked.
It's more of the game. Okay, so let's just do this, and you'll be happy.
Oh, I'll be happy. Good.
Let's stipulate Hunter Biden is guilty of sin, and his father's dirty as the dirtiest coal bin, okay? Let's just stipulate that.
Okay, I'm glad you
what
agree.
Does that have to do with President Trump and his impeachment? He is selling influence to Ukraine.
No, they're saying, here's what gets me, and maybe you want to take the other side of this. They're saying that he was interfering with an American election, implying that he's trying to get dirt going forward. But there's another way to look at it. He was trying to uncover what happened in the past. What crime was committed?
He was doing it out of virtue.
Well, you know, the President of the United States is supposed to protect our citizens.
All right, that's fine.
He's supposed to root out evil where he finds it.
You can look at it that way.
It could be either way. I mean, I'm saying you could look at it the one way if you choose to, but you could also look at it the other way if you were so inclined.
Right, like Robin Hood stole from the rich, but he gave to the poor, and you
So
have...
you'd lock Robin Hood up, would you?
I might investigate him. Stealing, still illegal. All right. Well, folks, give us
the Sheriff of Nottingham is going to be on your friends list.
Hard to believe, folks, but this is Joe and I not talking about the impeachment. Than, you're on the mark.
Nice to not talk the impeachment. Something I truly don't understand, if Trump is not guilty, and we don't know that he is, we certainly suspect that he's quite guilty, but if he's not guilty, why does he hide things? If I were not guilty, I probably would step right out in public and say, wait, I have been illegally charged here with something. Let me show all of my cards on the table. The worst way to do it is decide to hide all of your cards and say, yeah, 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 you can't find me. And Joe, I can't believe you keep falling for this guy. And also, I go with Mark. What in the world does Biden have to do with the fact that our president has done impeachable things? And I agree with, in the first place, I don't agree with Mark, and I don't think he does either, that Biden is damaged good. He certainly, let's say, used goods, but not damaged. But we don't know about his son. We don't know all the facts. And until we do, you're simply trying to divert our attention from the fact that the President of the United States, no matter how many times Dan from New Berlin says what he says, the President of the United States is still a crook.
Well, that's your opinion, Than. That's not been proven anywhere in any court of law.
No, you're very right. It has not been proven. But here's the evidence. We caught the guy with his hand in the cookie jar.
Where?
We caught him right outside your house with burglar tools. We found there was a broken window. And yet, all we have to do is find out, did he really do it? And I'm afraid we're going to find the answer is yes. That gives me no great joy.
But here's the issue, Than.
I think it's terrible.
You're talking about a process. If the president is being investigated, is it wrong for him to investigate? If he believes...
Yes, he should be being president, Joe.
Oh, okay.
Something he has not
In other words, we can let people throw mud at him all day long, but the minute he picks up something to throw back, that's wrong. Wow, that's not the American way.
Let me see. Who was it that said for almost 7 years, Obama's birth certificate is in question, and I'm going to prove it? Well, that guy never proved it.
And what happened to the guy who said, what happened to the guy?
To throw mud, and you believed the mud he threw.
What happened to the guy who said, I have absolute proof that President Trump colluded with the Russians? That guy's name, he's now running the inquiry into the president, and he never came forth with that information that he allegedly had that was absolute gilt-edged proof.
Let's not worry about that.
Oh, okay. That doesn't help the president, so we won't worry about that.
Let's worry about what we know, Joe.
We know that. We know he was on TV every day saying he had incontrovertible proof that Trump colluded with the Russians. And yet when the Mueller report came out, it wasn't there.
Whoa. No, Joe, just because you keep saying that, lie over and over again.
Well, look it up, Schiff. Look up what Adam Schiff said, Than. Look it up. Google it. You'll find it.
I know what he said. Joe, I follow the politics very closely. I do not say that I know everything about what's going on. But when Schiff said that, I don't worry about that. What I worry about is Trump guilty? And when you try to throw the light on everything else, I'm sorry, here's a diversion, so you won't think about why Trump is guilty.
Right.
I don't fall for that. Do you, Joe, every time?
Well, I look at it this way.
I mean, the man said he had incontrovertible proof, and he never put it out, so that makes him a liar.
All right, thank you so much, Than.
Okay, fine and dandy. He's a liar. But that does not have anything to do with what Trump has done.
All right. Thank you, Than. Thank you so much.
It does when he's running the investigation into the president.
We'll be right back.
Are you terrified by your old ride? Don't fear. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Treat yourself to a nicer, newer ride from SFC. Choose from 12 2019 Hyundai Tucson's with $4,000 off. Starting at $22,369. There's 17 Hyundai Konas in stock starting at only $20,352. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has brand new Sonatas starting under $19,000. Plus, hurry in. There's 4 Hyundai Palisades in stock. And every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. And Hyundai Assurance. Don't be terrified by your old ride. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Joe McGranahan is directly across from me, and Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. We'll take more comers, 1-800-795-9565. No more texters. Our text field is now full. So Stan.
And we'll get to them.
Stand down.
Well, Stan's not alone. There's others there as well.
Norm is there, and maybe
and
Roland.
Bob's there.
Is that
too.
Roland is the bottom one?
Somewhere.
Kai, you were on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Especially Mr. Mayor, I'd like to thank you for your service to the community and your wonderful staff, from Ed on down to all the guys driving the trucks and the police force and the young lady in the office. We're lucky to be living in this community called Shamokin Dam.
Oh, great. Glad
Amen,
you're there.
Brother. I haven't ridden my bike.
I kind of make it a habit in life. I have a saying, never wrestle the pig. You'll get dirty and the pig enjoys it too much. But I'm going to jump in the pen this morning. Okay. Everybody, you hear a mainstream media going on talking about the president. They always quantify everything by saying words are important. Words matter. He needs to be held accountable. Well, if you look at the transcribe of his phone call, number one, can we all agree that the phone call was an official phone call from the president of the United States to the president of the Ukraine to give him his congratulatory for the president of Ukraine winning the election? Can we agree on that?
Yep, I do.
Okay. Number two, when he went through his congratulatory stuff and got down to the nitty-gritty of what this problem, perceived problem, seems to be about, here are his exact words. Could you do us a favor? He didn't say, could you do me a favor? Mainstream media keeps saying he personally asked for a favor. No, he didn't. Could you do us a favor? So if he's calling in the capacity of the President of the United States, he's asking the President of the Ukraine if he could do a favor to the United States of America when he uses the term us.
Or his campaign.
Us.
Right. Could you
then
do
he went on to us? Say about all the stuff that's being written back home here concerning Hunter Biden, and we know the rest of it. There's no sense in getting into the middle of it. But I think the key word there is us, not I. He didn't say, can I ask for a favor? Would you do us a favor? And that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Thank you so much. Good point. Very good point, Kai. Very much appreciated. Well, I think though he's probably saying...
I liked his opening best. Don't wrestle with the pig. You'll get dirty and the pig enjoys it too much.
Well, I don't know if pigs enjoy wrestling. That remains to be seen. But anyway, the...
I believe him.
I think the president was referring to his campaign. Can you help us, our campaign out, our political campaign?
No, he's right. He was calling us the president of the United States. And if the president of the United States says us, unless he qualifies it, I believe he is speaking on behalf of the people of the United States.
That's the virtuous assumption.
If I said, can I help, can you help us in Syria? Would you expect that he meant, can you help me get a business deal or launch a Trump Tower in Syria? Or would you assume he meant, can you help us with the Syrian problem?
Wouldn't put it past him. Oh, Mike, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning. I just like to try to connect the dots here over the last 3.5 years or so. The way I see it, okay, I'm sure you'll disagree, Mark. Okay, before the election, they just downgraded and said Trump was all kinds of terrible things. They said, you know, he shouldn't be running for president. He was a joke. And then once he was elected, they said he was illegitimate. He colluded. The voting machines were tampered with. Once he got in office, they said he was unfit for office. They said he was guilty of violating the Logan Act, the Emoluments Clause. The Mueller investigation took up years, and then they had left-wing psychiatrists go on TV and say that he was nuts. And then we came on and we moved in. You know, after the Mueller investigation fell through, we had a CIA whistleblower scheme, and now we have a fake impeachment. And all the while, people like myself who support the president were called irredeemable, deplorable, we're the dregs of society, we're smelly with no teeth, we're ignorant and dumb, we're too stupid to know better, we're white supremacists.
Who said that?
Liberals.
Who says that? Who says that?
Yeah, all that other stuff.
Oh, well, some of that's from the transcripts of the emails with Peter Strzok. Hillary said we were deplorable and irredeemable. Biden said we were dregs of society. Do you need any more?
Now, I guess. Yeah, that's fine. I guess if it's a compilation, it counts. There's no individual that said all of that, but I guess, yeah, you could definitely.
There probably is.
You could. Well, probably true.
What it is.
Anyway,
what it is, Mark, it's an endless attack by Democrats and their supporters. It's designed to wear down the president's physical and mental health and his supporters, hoping that he will crack, we will all implode, and we'll, be unable to support this president in his attacks on the Democrats' left-wing socialist agenda for America. So basically what I'm trying to tell you is we are in a war between the right and the left right now, and it's being fought out in the media, it's being fought out on your radio show, it's being fought out in the streets, not quite yet with guns and bullets or anything, but God help us, it could come to that.
Okay.
Let's hope it doesn't.
Let's pray for President Trump and all the people of this country, that it doesn't come to that.
Right.
Well, I do that all the time anyway.
Well, as long as it's not that prayer that somebody sent us a meme of the other week, President Trump, I'm praying for you every day that you'll be removed from office as quick as blanking possible.
Yeah, now I lay my head to sleep. I hope I wake up and President Trump's not...
No, that was Tom's. If Trump should die before I wake, I pray the Lord the news ain't fake.
I definitely don't want him to die. If he should be deposed, I do not want him to die. Let's get that out of the way.
One last thing that, you know, when I said the media is involved in these attacks, and Joe was alluding to it earlier, that when they talked about Biden, it's alleged and unproven, but when it comes to Trump, it's never alleged and it's never unproven. It's taken as fact. And there's one thing that the mainstream media is not looking at, the whistleblower. They're not carefully looking at the whistleblower. There seems to be a tie between a Soros-funded advocacy group and a left-wing law firm that has ties to the CIA. All that stuff is right out there. If the roles were reversed and we had the CIA and a left-wing group and George Soros all maybe possibly scheming together to attack a Democrat president, don't you think that would be leading the story on the news?
Sure would be.
Absolutely. Be
absolutely.
Ridiculous coverage. Saturation.
Absolutely. And I know you're being a little, what do you call that, snarky or sarcastic there, Mark?
Sarcastic, that's the word you're looking for, right? Snarky works, too.
That is the truth. We're not getting fair coverage right now, and if you don't have fair coverage in the media, it's pretty hard to have a fair election. And fairness is the one thing that the Democrat left preaches. And you know what? We don't have much fairness when it comes to the media, unless we get to talk to shows like yours.
Well, you have your own channel.
Fox News, the president's coming down on them recently, too.
Oh, well, then they must be bad, yeah. If the president said they're bad, they are.
Actually, you know, I like when, you know, I'm a Trump supporter, and I like when people, you know, kind of point the finger at me and say, I watch Fox all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, I probably watch Fox maybe 15 minutes a week, if that, okay? Mm. And most of that is the Fox Business Report in the morning when I'm stretching and exercising. So I'm not one of those people that would fall into that category as somebody that sits in front of Fox TV all day. In fact, I watch more CNN and MSNBC than I do Fox.
Yeah, I've come to that, too, but I just like to see how they slant the news while they're making it look like it's real.
It's actually a form of entertainment.
It is. I mean, it's just, I used to like Alison Camerota when she was on Fox because I thought she was fair and balanced. Now on CNN, she's one of the purveyors of all the left-wing talking points that they want to put out every morning.
Yeah, like last year when they said the president gave away a congressional medal of, or not a congressional medal of honor, one of his medal of honors. What's the name of that? The name escaped, to a super heroic Marine. And they said the whole time he dodged questions about the Mueller report. Well, you know, it's the single most superlative good thing a president can do. And they're like, and he won't talk to us about the report. Thank you so much, Mike. Really appreciate the call. You got an open mic here anytime. Even if you're wrong. So, sorry, I couldn't resist. He's right on many, many points, and we'll discuss those when we come back. We're not talking about the impeachment. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across me. We're diametrically opposed on numerous topics. We don't agree on the impeachment. Joe says the whistleblower's name should be public and that the president should not be impeached and it's all political. I say the whistleblower's name should be private. That's what the law calls for. The impeachment should be examined and we'll find out if he tried to illegally influence the election.
Beep. I didn't say any of those things. I believe the president, you know, I believe what's happening to the president is very unfair because the Democrats haven't taken a vote in the House to launch an official investigation. It should be before the Judiciary Committee, not the Intelligence Committee. I mean, they're doing all these things to keep it from the American people.
They're doing
Let's do it out in the open. If it were the Democrats, Republicans doing this to Democrat, they would be screaming bloody murder. They would be.
Yeah, boy. No, we would be going along with it and preparing our defense.
Oh, yes, you would be. Just like you did with Bill Clinton, where they said, oh, this is a coup. It's a witch hunt.
It was.
Oh, you're right.
Nice try.
He lied under oath.
Well, as long as you assume and accurately state that there is an equivalency, both broke the law and both should stand accountable. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find more details at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is now open again. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. All clear sounded at Danville High School today and all back to normal. Yesterday, the high school was evacuated in the afternoon after a bomb scare came in. The school was cleared with the help of State Police K-9 bomb-sniffing teams who went over the school in a very detailed fashion and pronounced the all clear. Students were allowed back in the school last night to retrieve their backpacks and other belongings during the evening. Sunbury's newest full-time police officer officially sworn in now. He started a couple of days ago at Monday night City Council meeting. Terry Ketchum says he was impressed with the Sunbury Police Force officer in charge, Brad Hare, Corporal Travis Bremigen, and the way the whole department's being run.
I felt like this would be a great opportunity for me to come and work for the people of the city of Sunbury and also the department. The department's under great leadership, has the support of the mayor and the city council, which is not very common across many municipalities.
Terry Ketchum sworn in last night. Busy connector road closed today. Paradise Road in the Milton area closed today. A short detour is posted there. Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren has escalated her tiff with Facebook by running an ad on Facebook taking aim at the CEO Mark Zuckerberg. It's the latest example of the growing resentment of big tech by Republicans and Democrats alike. Warren's text ad reads, "Breaking news, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook just endorsed Donald Trump for re-election." It goes on to say that while this isn't true, Zuckerberg has given Donald Trump free rein to lie on Facebook. Warren's ad takes issue with Facebook's policy of not fact-checking politicians' speech or ads the way it has outside parties that fact-check news stories and other posts. Facebook has refused to remove a misleading video ad from President Donald Trump's campaign targeting Democratic candidate Joe Biden. Facebook says companies shouldn't police politicians' speech.
And you know, in broadcasting, if the ad is a use by the candidate, we can't edit
you
them.
Don't
in
do
any
it.
Way.
Well, and that's not allowed. And that is the attitude that Facebook is doing, is they're saying, you know, let the listener beware, or in their case, the viewer of the Facebook ad or the watcher of the video. They're saying, we're not going to do this. We're not, it's a can of worms.
I think it's a good policy. If the candidate makes, in broadcasting, in television, radio, it's called a use. And a use is defined as the candidate being identified or identifiable in the commercial. So if it's a use by the candidate, we can't edit it. And I think that ought to be the case in all political advertising. I mean, years ago, there was a case we had here before I came where a candidate for county judge was being insulted by a guy who running for county commissioner, and it made reference on the air to his religion. And the station spent a fair amount of money getting lawyers, our broadcast attorneys, trying to stop that ad from running, and we lost. The reason we lost is because you cannot edit a political candidate's comment.
Where is political speech edited and vetted and limited?
Where a third party buys the ad. In other words, if you buy an ad in support of President Trump and you want to say Joe Biden is that, what did you call him at the beginning, a dirty dog or something like that, mm-hmm. we can go back and say, no, you know, you can't run that. And here's the reasoning behind that is, if it is a use by the candidate, the broadcasting company, the radio station, the TV station, can't be held accountable for the message. In other words, we run it, it's insulting, it's defamatory, it could be grounds for a lawsuit, but we can't be sued because we're following the law. But if we run your third-party ad saying those same things about somebody, we can be sued because now we're assuming liability for the content.
And what about CNN? They're rejecting ads. Broadcast
CNN,
TV doesn't have
I don't know that they're regulated by the FCC. To the extent that cable is regulated,
okay.
They are regulated.
That's
but
a separate entity.
If Fox's programs were on a commercial station, they'd be liable.
But they're not.
They're not.
They're just on cable,
they're
so you have to voluntarily
cable.
Connect to it. It's like pay-per-view, only you're paying for cable.
Well, there are some regulations, but the whole justification behind regulating broadcasting is that we send our signal through the air, and the people own the air. That's the whole basis for regulation.
Right, we own our license only on a provision.
Well, we don't own it. We are given a license that we have to renew every 7 years.
Right, so on the proviso that we serve our
communities. Right. So
to the
best. Have a whole lot of hoops we have to jump through that CNN and MSNBC don't have to jump through. NBC does because they own over-the-air stations.
Okay, so NBC News
so CBS and ABC,
has to air the particular President Trump ad that they didn't want to, but MSNBC does not.
Well, there was a story last week that CNN rejected two of President Trump's commercials.
Right.
Now, they can do that, but, you know, the other thing they require on federal commercials, and it's funny because sometimes people do it on local commercials, is I'm Bob Smith and I approve this ad. You only have to do that on a federal ad if you're running for federal office. You have to state that you approved the ad.
But not for state ads.
No.
So all these other individuals are doing it.
They're just think they maybe they think it sounds cool to say I'm Bob Smith and I approve this ad.
Right, I'm an official candidate. Look at me. Okay, well thank you.
Well.
Great explanation. Thank you, sir. See this keeping Joe around has an advantage once in a while. That didn't come out right, but
once in a while
your super knowledge is wonderful.
Thank you.
Finally, President Donald Trump is trying to influence votes. We finally found some votes he is trying to influence. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
This is real.
This is absolutely, positively
not impeachable. He's trying to influence votes on ABC's Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no.
Trump Monday tweeted that viewers should vote for former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer. The president called Spicer a good guy and wrote that he has always been there for us. Spicer tweeted his thanks and instructions on how viewers can cast their votes. Spicer has been paired with professional dancer Lindsay Arnold as they compete for the Mirror Ball Trophy. He says he's doing it to have fun and make it a really good experience. Trump supporters have embraced Spicer, but opponents have criticized the program for inviting him.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. Really? Why?
Talking about trivial stuff. This is pretty trivial. The president shouldn't be involved in trying to shill votes.
We don't want anybody on the show who's ever been a super good employee of anyone. If you've ever followed a boss blindly, you shouldn't be allowed on Dancing with the Stars.
You should read Joe Biden's tweet where he suggests you vote against him because he's the president.
Oh, did he do a counter tweet?
No, I'm only kidding.
Now, that would be snarky. Anyway, Spicer told USA Today there's no question a huge amount of his votes come from Trump supporters. Dancing with the Stars airs on Monday night, so this was probably on TV last night.
Right. Oh, we are way behind on texts.
1-800-795-9565. Will you read a couple of two tree of them right now? They always start with capital letters.
Right.
Here's one right here.
Starting at the bottom. Well,
and
I
then it goes up to here.
Right, but I was going to start with the first one we got, which we did.
You go ahead.
Said, hello, the whistleblower don't need to testify now because the White House put out the phone call trend. Well, where'd it go? I didn't.
Yeah, well, hold on. The screen just changed perspective.
It
probably
really
because
did.
It's getting full.
Well, every few seconds it changes. Here we go. The whistleblower don't need to testify now because the White House put out the phone call transcript. Robert Mueller found at least 15 impeachment violations on Humpty Trumpty. Trump was asked to come and testify and refused. He will get his day in court and his years in jail. Thanks, Bob. Bob, there were no 15 impeachment findings out of the Mueller report. You need to read that again. As for Syria, Trump is playing into Putin's hands along with the other corrupt leaders. Another texter says, so, Mark, you're okay with Biden using the office of the vice presidency to enrich his son and threaten the Ukraine government with stopping $1 billion in proposed loans?
No. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying this idea that Hunter worked for the company and has ties to the vice president, that's normal operating procedure in Washington, unfortunately. But if he had undue influence or he did something illegal, for heaven's sake, investigate him. But all of Biden's misdeeds added up into a huge sum of terrible things in no way exonerates President Trump from the many things that he's done wrong.
Wow. Okay. One of our other texters.
This one starts here.
Yeah,
and
I see that
here.
One. I saw it.
Go ahead.
Did President Trump not release the transcript of the call? And with all the leaks from the White House, I may be inclined to secure information. Just wondering. I agree. He's had other conversations leaked in the past. And if it is a matter of the president's personal right to run our foreign policy, then he has every right to make those calls secure if he thinks they might be leaked. And
I see. These are repeats. That's why they don't make any sense. Okay, now up farther. There you go.
Hey, Than, that's not how our system of justice works. No one has to prove themselves innocent. They have to be proven guilty, and the Democrats have nothing to prove that guilt. Than, what we know is that Trump released the transcript of the phone call, and that proves the Democrats lie.
All right, fabulous. Good for you.
It looks like somebody's got...
Somebody sent us a link. Yeah, we don't need that. Where is Trump? If Trump, no. Okay. All right. That's
hard to
it.
Say.
You're done.
Something happened to them.
Right. They're truncated, it's called. So if you wish to.
You're even blaming Trump for that? Oh, you said trunk. Okay.
Truncated. Right. Yes, it's when messages are indecipherable and make no sense. Who better to name it after? All right. Well, we'll take more comers via text, a phone call, email. Feel free to give us a buzz. We do have a couple of 2-3 emails pending. We started out talking about the rules that relate to Facebook. Facebook has voluntarily chosen to comply with the FCC-type policy where they don't edit ads, where the ads on Facebook are sort of a use, and whatever you want to put on there, you can. And people are doing that. They're primarily interested in money. The last thing they want to do is say no to any money for any reason. So that's not happening. Of course, radio broadcast licenses require us to follow a series of certain rules, as Joe mentioned. Bob, what's your view on this?
Yes, I have a quick question for Joe.
I can say at one time, years ago, with the political ads for candidates, there was an equal time where if one, I don't know if this was for the ads or just the interviews, but if you offered one candidate say a half hour, you would have to offer the other candidates like the same time. Like, is that in effect or no?
Well, modified. It was equal time at one point, but later on it became equal facilities, which meant that if you put somebody on your biggest station and somebody else came along and you tried to put them on your smallest station, that wouldn't work. You just had to grant them equal facilities.
And likewise, Bob, we comply with that. Any candidate who wishes to be on the radio can come in here and be on the radio on this show. If you are come on and you're running for county commissioner and you're given an 8:30 slot on the mark, then when your opponent comes along, I'm not going to give them the 7:10 slot on Sunrise. You get an 8:30 slot,
but
too.
So you could. And the only difference is that if the candidate, the opposing candidate, asked you within 7 days for equal facilities, you'd have to give it.
Have to switch.
It's a right. It's not an absolute guarantee. It's a right they have that they can assert within a certain time limit.
And we bend over backwards.
All right, backwards. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we bend over backwards. Make sure that news stories about candidates after they appear reflect.
You bend over backwards. Well, that would explain why your views are so twisted.
Whew. We make sure that news stories are written, they're all written the same. It's like a political candidate template. You know, it says the first lead is always whatever noteworthy or newsworthy thing the candidate said, what show he or she was on. Then there's a 12-second soundbite. Then there's an 18-second soundbite that elaborate on the same topic. You don't delve into another topic and then tell people to go listen to the podcast. So.
Well, I mean, there are all kinds of rules. Like in Pennsylvania, you're not supposed to allow a new issue to be entered into the debate within 24 hours before the election.
Even on this show?
Even on this show. Anywhere.
Okay.
You're not supposed to do it. You know, I don't know that anybody's ever been prosecuted for it, but it's on the books, so.
Well, and you don't want to have any demerits when it comes to licensing
time. The whole
time.
Point is fairness. The whole idea is that if I allow you to make some last-minute charge against your opponent on the eve of the election, there's no chance for him to refute it or to come back and say he's got this wrong or that's not the truth or that's an outright lie.
Is there a history of broadcasters being unfair?
Well, I think that, you know, years ago, let's start with newspapers. They often were because each newspaper might have a political affiliation back in the day in the 20s
like
and 30s.
Like the Pottsville Republican?
Well, yeah, or the, Louisville Democrat or whatever the paper is. I mean, some of them were Republican, some Democrat. Some of them were along more philosophical lines like liberal, conservative. But, you know, they had them, and sometimes they made up outright lies, stories about their opponents that were, you know, just not true. Broadcasting, I think, had something of the same tendency. Back in the 30s, there was a Catholic priest called Father Conklin who came on the air, and he started out being in support of the New Deal but wound up opposing it. And finally, the Catholic Church had to say to him, you're no longer going to be going on the air with this kind of stuff. You know, Huey Long was another practitioner of what amounted to a rather large lie with respect to politics. You know, so over the years, this law has kind of evolved, and the whole goal is to try and be fair to the political candidates, which we've always done here anyway.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Read this one email, and then we'll take a... Oh, that is not the most recent pending one.
Isn't it?
No, there's one ahead of it.
Oh, well, I don't see it.
It's here.
Okay.
There you go.
Mark, the caller hit the nail on the head.
Oh, never mind. Don't read that.
Okay, I won't read that one. I took that.
No,
well,
I'm
let's just
kidding.
Say it's castigating you for...
No, you can read it. I'm just
all
being
right.
Silly. Go ahead.
It says, Mark, the caller hit the nail on the head. Myself and others that know you find your snarky comments and attitude beneath you. We thought you were better than that, but after listening for so long, the way you are thought of is very different. Maybe try the show without all your sarcasm.
All right, we got it. Well, Joe has drugged me down here, so
it's my fault.
It's obvious.
Yes. That's what, blame somebody else. That's right.
Or is that being snarky as a reply?
I believe it is snarky.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right, I'm going to work on my attitude and clean up my language. But really, the goal of this show is to really have a pretty vibrant discussion.
Yes, it is.
So, but noted. Thank you for the email.
You have to be prepared to defend yourself whether you call in or whether you don't. Typically, if someone calls in and just wants to express an opinion and doesn't attack either one of us or our views, we let them have their say and go on their way.
Like this one. Read this pointed email that okay. criticizes everyone.
About a Halloween parade?
Yeah,
tonight?
Go ahead. Read. They're wide open.
Tonight is at Sealers Grove's Halloween parade. It kicks off at 7 o'clock at CVS, proceeds south on Market Street, and disbands at Sassafras. Boy, there's a controversial item if I ever heard one.
Damn it.
Are you terrified by your old ride? Don't fear. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Treat yourself to a nicer, newer ride from SFC. Choose from 12 2019 Hyundai Tucson's with $4,000 off. Starting at $22,369. There's 17 Hyundai Konas in stock starting at only $20,352. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has brand new Sonatas starting under 19 grand. Plus, hurry in. There's 4 Hyundai Palisades in stock. And every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. And Hyundai Assurance. Don't be terrified by your old ride. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Joe and I are not going to talk about impeachment. We're going to talk about implumment. We think with a different fruit in the middle, it'll have a better taste. And so we're trying
this out.
Well,
we could go with an applement, an orangement. Mm. They sound good, too.
How about an emolument?
Oh, well, we have those, too. Let's make ourselves
rich.
The
president
in the program
is sometimes accused of not staying legal in that regard.
One of our emailers says, just keep thinking those wonderful thoughts about reasons to impeach an elected president. You may have many. You'll get your choice. But you can't pick the consequences of what will happen to our government system of picking any elected person. Oh, that's right. It will just be bad on all Republicans on their side. The Democratic Party will pick up all elected people because the deplorables don't know how to let anyone. There's no period there. It
well,
looks like
I think
some
the
words
bottom
are
line
missing.
Is if the president is impeached and has to leave office, which is, I think, a pretty significantly
only if he's convicted
distance threat or possibility, Mike Pence would be the president, which wouldn't be the end of the world. He's obviously ultra-conservative and very faithful, so that all those things would count in his favor. I mean, to Republicans.
Well, I'm sure a lot of the people on the left wouldn't like him because he is a conservative Christian, which they would find somewhat troubling, I would think.
I think the problem that the left sometimes has with conservative Christians is when they impose their religious views, like when Fred Keller would only vote for the Year of the Bible but declined, if ever asked, which he never was, said he would not vote for the Year of the Quran or the Year of the Torah because that's not his religion, so he wouldn't want to do anything that would support them. Well, he has constituents who are Muslim and he has constituents who are Jewish who may have appreciated that. So that's a perfect example of imposing your religious views
on other people. Did you happen
to see,
this morning I was watching, as I do, I bounce back between all three news services in the morning on cable, but this morning Fox had a speech delivered by the Attorney General, Mr. Barr.
I did hear that.
At the,
a church?
No, it was at Notre Dame University's law school.
Oh, okay.
Where he pointed out that today, you know, it's not just people being bombarded with Christianity, it's people being bombarded with secular humanism or, you know, anti-religion, and that people who are religious are supposed to just sit there quietly and take that.
And is there, he talked of a conspiracy that they were really trying to, people with democratic views and the left, we'll use that term again, are really trying to ruin the country and make sure that religion has no place here? I mean, certainly I don't consider myself part of any such
well,
thing.
Well, I think what we have in this country is supposed to be a place for everybody at the table, you know, and there was an article my wife called to my attention the other day, and I don't know that I brought it along, but it really was something that made me stop and think again, and the title of it was How Did We Become So Small? I don't know whether I still have that here or not.
Will you look for that while I talk about the Sunbury Motor Company?
Go ahead.
The Sunbury Motor Company is our prime sponsor. They would like you to do as I do, and that is to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Super place to go if you got a road trip planned or it's just time for some routine maintenance or the car is pulling to the left, or it makes a funny noise only when you turn to the right. If you go to the left, it doesn't do it, but if it goes woo, 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 when you turn to the right or to the left, they'll let you know that it's probably a power steering pump or something. something like that, and they will take good care of you to make sure that it gets underway. They specialize in all types of service, and they can fix any vehicle at all whatsoever. Yes, they are a Ford dealer, but if you got a Chevy or a Dodge or a Hyundai, or no, I guess they're a dealer in them, but a Honda or an Acura, which I guess is a form of a Honda, they'll take good care of you. Bottom line, they can fix it, and they got ultra-experienced individuals there, thousands of manuals downloaded already and ready to look at, and they'll take good care of your vehicle. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They can tow your vehicle if it's completely busted, and they can put you in a new Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln at your request. Go down there, talk to Jason Benfer at the Lincoln dealership, and he would just love to take super deluxe, extra wonderful care of you at the Sunbury Motor Company.
I thought this was a great, great article. It was written by Victor Davis Hansen of the Tribune Media Services. It's maybe take about a minute and a half to read, but I think it's worth hearing. He said, many of the stories about gods and heroes of Greek mythology were compiled during the Greek Dark Ages. Impoverished tribes passed down oral traditions that originated after the fall of the lost palatial civilizations of the Greeks. Dark Age Greeks tried to make sense of the massive ruins of their forgotten forebearers' monumental palaces that were still standing around. As illiterates, they were curious about occasional clay tablets they plowed up in their fields with incomprehensible ancient linear inscriptions. We of the 21st century are beginning to look back at our own lost epic times and wonder about how these now nameless giants who left behind monuments we cannot replicate, but instead merely use or even mock. Does anyone believe that contemporary Americans could build another transcontinental railroad in 6 years? Californians tried to build a high-speed rail line, but after more than a decade of government incompetence, lawsuits, cost overruns, and constant bureaucratic squabbling, they have all but given up. The result is a half-built overpass over the skyline of Fresno, and yet not a foot of track had been laid. Who were those giants of the 1960s responsible for building our interstate highway system? California's roads are now mostly the same as we inherited them, although the state population has tripled. We have added little to our freeway network, either because we forgot how to build good roads, or would prefer to spend the money on redistributive entitlements. When California had to replace a quarter section of the earthquake-damaged San Francisco Bay Bridge, it turned into a near disaster with 11 years of acrimony, fighting, cost overruns, and a commentary on our decline into Dark Ages primitivism. Yet 82 years ago, our ancestors built four times the length of our single replacement span in less than 4 years. It took them just 2 years to design the entire Bay Bridge and award the contracts. Our generation required 5 years just to plan to replace a single section. In inflation-adjusted dollars, we spent six times the money on one quarter of the length of the bridge and required 13 agencies to grant approval. In 1936, just one agency approved the entire bridge project. California has not built a major dam in 40 years. Instead, officials squabble over the water stored and distributed by our ancestors. Contemporary Californians would have little food or water without these massive transfers, and yet they often ignore or damn the generation that built the very system that saves them. America went to the moon in 1969 with supposedly primitive computers and backward engineering. Does anyone believe we could launch a similar moonshot today? No American has set foot on the moon in the last 47 years, and it may not happen again in the next 50. Hollywood once gave us blockbuster epics, brilliant westerns, great film noirs, and classic comedies. Now it endlessly turns out comic book superhero films or pathetic remakes of prior classics. Our writers and directors and actors have lost the skills of their ancestors, but they are also cowardly, and in regimented fashion, they simply parrot boring race, class, and gender bromides that are neither interesting nor funny. Does anyone believe the Oscar ceremonies are more engaging or dignified than in the past? And we have been fighting in Afghanistan without result for 18 years. Our forefathers helped to win World War II and defeat the Axis in 4 years. In terms of learning, does anyone believe a college graduate in 2020 will know half the information of a 1950 graduate? And in the 1940s, young people read William Faulkner, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Pearl Buck, and John Steinbeck. Are our current novelists turning out anything comparable? Could today's high school graduate even finish The Good Earth or The Grapes of Wrath? True social media is impressive. The internet gives us instant access to global knowledge. We are a more tolerant society, at least in theory, but Facebook is not the Hoover Dam and Twitter is not the Panama Canal. Our ancestors were builders and pioneers, mostly fearless. We are regulators, auditors, bureaucrats, adjudicators, censors, critics, plaintiffs, defendants, social media junkies, and thin-skinned scolds. A distant generation created, we mostly delay, idle, and gripe. As we walk amid the refuse, needles and excrement on the sidewalks of our fetid cities, as we sit motionless on our jammed ancient freeways, as we pout on Twitter and electronically whine in the porticos of our Ivy League campuses, will we ask, who were these people who left these strange monuments that we can use but can neither emulate nor understand?
Wow.
I think that's a very insightful piece.
It's a conversation starter, that's for sure. Well, let's start out with the rail building, the Continental Railroad, near slave, near, not actual,
no,
but
no,
near
not,
slave labor?
Well, we brought in a lot of Chinese people to build it, and then we
But
told
paid
them
well and took good care of them? And
well,
they were,
some of them were well-treated,
okay.
But not all of them.
Okay. So some were mistreated.
They were primarily brought in by the... But not Union Pacific, but the other one, Southern Pacific. Not Southern Pacific. What's now the Santa Fe, that railroad. You know, the Union Pacific started
Northern
from
Pacific?
The...
Northern Pacific? Norfolk Southern?
No. It was the Union Pacific from the east, and then I forget what the one was from the west.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
In any event,
Joe forgot something.
Yeah,
I'm
I did. Well, I was more intent on this piece, but
anyway,
peripheral, whether or not the Chinese...
I'm just saying, how big of a factor was it that some individuals were not fairly treated, and you're saying that's not...
But it took 6 years.
Right, it's not a hugely significant aspect.
They were
this.
Paid, you know, okay. They agreed to come here for whatever reason, whether they were treated beautifully or miserably, they
Well, we
did
didn't
it.
Have environmental laws. I think that probably would hold up a comparable project today. Plus, eminent domain, half the property wasn't owned by anyone. So eminent domain would be easier to procure. So I think that was probably a factor
Here's
there.
Here's the one paragraph that got me, and I think this is what the answer to your question. Our ancestors were builders and pioneers and mostly fearless. We are regulators, auditors, bureaucrats, adjudicators, censors, critics, plaintiffs, defendants, social media junkies, and thin skin scolds. Our generation created, or their generation created, we mostly delay, idle, and gripe. So there's the point right there. Yes, we've created all this bureaucratic stuff that stands in the way of getting something done.
Right.
In the name of preserving or protecting something. But I think what we've lost is sight of the greater good. You know, do we need a road to go from here to there? What's the benefit of that road?
Well, it's like the CSVT. I've always argued we really don't need it, but I'm glad we're getting it, and I'm glad it's happening, and people should be happy. But if you wanted to go all the way back to the beginning and enjoy the argument again, do we need more roads that we can't maintain? Do we need more highways going right through the heart of our area? Why don't we discourage folks from crossing our area so we can stay raw? I mean, that's the same thing I've had.
What if cars had never been invented?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Wouldn't that be nice?
There'd be no car. How would we get goods from one place to another?
What if we never invented gunpowder, electricity, any form of pharmaceutical or alcohol?
Well, I'd say I don't think I want to live in that society, but you're welcome. Is that what Marktopia has evolved to?
You're such a big shooter and drinker.
No, but I think that certainly people have the right to those things.
Oh, I'm not denying them now that they exist. I'm just saying the world would be different. But
what if we had no cars? We'd have no need for roads. You know, we could ride over the landscape on our horses.
One of our older listeners says, well, we can go back to the past when we were bolder or more... looks like protect. I'm not quite sure what they're saying there. But anyway, most of my friends, and this is from a 70-something-year-old white male, most of my friends were racist, and many of them were wife beaters. Let's go back to those good old days.
Well, the rule of thumb, you could beat your wife with a stick no thicker than your thumb.
Right. So we've made progress
in some areas. You liked those good old days, didn't you?
No.
You whipped your wife with a stick?
Come on now. Don't even start.
Have you stopped beating your wife, by the way?
Let's take a break. We're going to beat on Joe for just one short minute. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I ineffectively pointed out that maybe some of the later labor on the rail lines was not ideal, but that's not necessarily sticking. They didn't have environmental laws, and certainly eminent domain would have been waived in many cases there.
The Native Americans weren't always thrilled they were coming through.
Well, yeah, good point. Dam construction is very difficult today because you're not allowed to dam a river, and I think that we're running into environmental regulations. You know, the question is, does a dam really help the river in any way?
Ask the Tennessee Valley Authority, people who benefited from that back in the 30s when President Roosevelt had the guts to take it on.
Right, and then the answer is what? Yes, it does help. But nowadays...
So they have power now that they wouldn't have had. Should they be living down there in the dark and muddy roads?
Nope. And then I think the answer to that question is, yeah, that dam helped out a lot of people. Wilkes-Barre wanted a fiber dam, and they decided that it would exacerbate flooding. They'd have to raise the flood wall. It would raise the water level upstream.
If we had a blank slate today, infrastructurally, how do you think we'd fill it?
If we had a fiber dam, it would have come with a fish ladder.
I mean, I look at even the Susquehanna Valley Thruway project. After we found out we might have to protect the spadefoot toad, God forbid any of them were living in the area, there was something else we had to protect. But then they had to send out teams of archaeologists to dig around to see if there were any buried artifacts in the path of the project.
Right, where are you going to put the thing?
So what if there were?
Well, and there's the latest dilemma is that because there was a cofferdam in part of the river, part of that island that was wiped out, that the river goes past as it goes under the bridge, the CSVT bridge. And the question is, should the construction company have to put that island back?
The one they're building the...
Right, yeah. Part of it got inundated because it got inundated with high water. Remember, last year we had water high all the time. And where there was a cofferdam on the Point Township side of the river, the water flowed directly over and inundated and removed a portion of that island that was there that the pier is next to. So the question is, should that be restored? You know, I don't think so. And I think the island will probably restore itself once the river is free to flow, as it is now.
Well, eventually. I mean, the silt and things that wash down river tend to collect at the point of island, so tends to fill them up.
But in any event, that's a question that's being asked. So anyway, the dams are tough, especially if they don't come with a fish ladder nowadays. Movies. You see tons of movies. Do you agree that movies are wasteful today and have no virtue?
No, I didn't say that, and that wasn't the point of the article. It's just that, you know, we used to make movies that were classics. How many movies down the road are going to compare with a Casablanca or a Gone with the Wind? Not very many.
But I think
because today most of them are these superhero movies that where people shoot 30, 40, 50 people in a clip, you know, manage to crash through walls and bang into people. That's what a lot of these movies are about. I stopped going to these superhero shoot 'em up, kill 'em dead, thousands of people dying in a movie.
But I think part of that is context. I think there are great movies made today. Your son tells us about a few from time to time.
Oh, yeah, there are no argument. There are some great movies being made, but most of it is not the kind of quality. I mean, when you stop to think about it, Casablanca didn't start out as anything more than another run-of-the-mill production at Warner Brothers. Look at what it became.
And back then, it was, I think, more significant to see a movie. So I think people would not have accepted lesser films, at least in a broad manner. But nowadays, movies are a dime a dozen. Look what Netflix is cranking out, features that are just all over the place.
But some of them are good. I mean, it depends on what you watch for. Do you watch for the landmark quality of what you're watching, or do you watch to be entertained? I watch to be entertained.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We are talking about our society and civilization declining, going to H-E double toothpicks in a small wicker basket. What's your view on this? John from Mifflinburg, you are on the mark. Thank you. And then Dale is next. Go ahead, John.
Hey, good morning. I want to talk about Syria. I think it's a tragic mistake that the president made in withdrawing our troops and leaving our allies to be killed by Turkey. I think it's just a tremendous waste. The area, I think, benefits now Russia, Assad, and Iran. There's a really good article in the New York Times the other day about targeted airstrikes that Russia has been using in Syria, targeting hospitals. tremendously detailed and all the facts to support that that's what they've been doing. So there's more suffering now that we're not there. And by the way, I mean, in between 2014 and 2019, we've had 8 service people killed in action in that area. However, there's been close to 11,000 Kurds killed in the fight against ISIS. So, as General Mattis talked about, that you have allies, what they really are force multipliers. And by having an ally in the Kurds, we've saved countless people, countless service people, in the fight against ISIS. And now we just turn our backs on them on a whim.
Well, President Trump is very one-dimensional in his foreign policy. What do you feel his real reason for pulling out is?
Yeah, well, and it's difficult to really get to the bottom of it. It's he's under pressure for impeachment, so he said, I have a campaign promise. I'm going to throw that out of total context. There's real people at stake here, and it might be in some kind of imaginative place where you have a clean slate and say, well, we don't have foreign involvements. But the fact is, with allies and with actions they're taking, there's consequences. And when we teamed up with the Kurds and they did this tremendous service in fighting ISIS and, this urban warfare, I mean, I saw like studies, war college studies that are like 50% casualties that we would suffer in going into Raqqa and also in Syria. So I don't know, and it wasn't that big. It was a small commitment, and it just could have kept the peace.
You think perhaps Vladimir Putin asked him to do that so that he could, so that Putin could gain a tighter foothold there?
Yeah, it's right. I mean, Assad's a puppet of Putin, and it's just a constant Russia background to everything. It's like the president's never seen anything having to do with Russia that he didn't like. And, when it was initially announced the withdrawal, that was General Mattis left. And Mattis, he's a tremendous man. And he was a stabilizing force in the administration. And for him to leave, when it was announced, it was a great loss to the country.
But on the other hand, the Democrats weren't very happy when he was nominated. They had objections to him, but then once he left, he became a hero.
Well, in the context of looking after the country with this volatile, impulsive, non-reflective president we have, I thought he was an asset. And I know my time's about up, but just a quick little few sentences, an excerpt from when Mattis gave the an address to the midshipmen at their graduation in Annapolis. This is just a few sentences of what he said. Here's an excerpt. He said, if we were to keep this great big experiment called America alive, and that's all it is, an experiment, we need cocky, macho, unselfish, and morally very straight young men and women to lead our forces against the enemy. Your job, my fine young men and women, is to find the enemy that wants to end this experiment and kill every one of them until they are so sick of the killing that they leave us and our freedoms intact. And, and I think about it, I mean, does anyone find Donald Trump in that reflection?
No, not really.
Well, according to the people who were upset about the video that supposedly shows him killing his opponents, maybe they do.
Well, he's clearly not in there. All right, thank you so much.
He is in there. He's
John.
Been superimposed on top of their heads.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate your call.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Dale's our next caller. We'll be right back.
Are you terrified by your old ride? Don't fear. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Treat yourself to a nicer, newer ride from SFC. Choose from 12 2019 Hyundai Tucson's with $4,000 off. Starting at $22,369. There's 17 Hyundai Konas in stock starting at only $20,352. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has brand new Sonatas starting under $19,000. Plus, hurry in. There's 4 Hyundai Palisades in stock. block. And every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty.
10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
And Hyundai Assurance. Don't be terrified by your old ride. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. The most patient man in the entire United States of America is Dale. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to bounce off what Joe read there because sounds like the guy's pretty upset with innovation. Well, basically, accomplishment today, you know, with Americans and humans is basically innovation. What we have is too much government, you know. In the 90s, they were talking about too much government. Now you look at the size of government today compared to the 90s. Well, I think the media is colluding, you know, because of the programming and they accept money. It's not that they have fear or ignorance. It's just that they're programming people, you know, colluding with the Bar Association because everything is being overregulated. And when the money is being funded for a program, it's funneled right to a firm and it never accomplishes anything. And it's like I said, if we just wiped out half of the government, or even replace them with normal people, with, like, you know, teachers, and just get the Bar Association out of it, we would get the ball rolling again. But just like the Roman Empire collapsed, it's all coming to a pimple. But I think a lot of people have, you know, I mean, I don't think people are even, I think they have too much fear to talk about what the problem is. I know the media does. They're trying to steer away from it big time, but we know what the problem is. The cancer of innovation, I've been telling you for years, is too many Bar Association members in there. They're funneling, taking our money and funneling for themselves. I mean, if you listen to the whole paragraph, it tells you point blank. I mean, it's, I don't know why so many people fear that, but
all right,
like I
gotcha.
Said, when they send me a court, when they tell me jury duty, okay, I had one up in Williamsport. I wrote them a nice letter. I said, I refuse to participate in extortion and embezzlement of American taxpayers in order to make the Bar Association any rich. And they never, ever sent me another letter. They would have to pay me $100 an hour to do jewelry duty.
Ooh, that would be worth it.
Right. I'm not playing. They insult my intelligence by giving me, what, $6 an hour? I don't even know what they pay because
all right.
I would never go to court duty. And I give them a sweet letter, nothing, you know, bad or nothing like that, but I refuse to do it.
All
not
right.
Why they're going to sit there on both sides, three sides of the argument, and create money for themselves.
We got you, Dale. Thank you so much for calling in.
I'm going to see if I can get you some jury duty, Dale. I have friends in the Bar Association.
Make good use of your 60 seconds, Chris. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, that phone call from, was the phone call of the day about the Kurds. That was very important. What happens when you have an impetuous president who does things without consulting anybody on his gut feelings and is also ignorant. About that article Joe read, I think it was wrong from the very start. The people who had the Greek myths survived were the people who wrote them down and stored them in libraries, who kept Homer's and the Greek playwrights' works alive were the ones who got them, kept the myths, not people who were plowing up fields and destroying tablets. So it was wrong from the very start.
But that isn't what it said, Chris. Unfortunately, you didn't hear it.
That is what it said.
No, it's it's right here in front of me. I have it right in front of me.
All right, we're gonna have to.
He was comparing us to the farmers who kept the myths alive orally.
Boy, you
that's
missed the point.
That's how they were kept alive.
You missed the point entirely, right. My friend. Sorry.
No, I didn't.
Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate the call. And thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. We won't talk about the impeachment tomorrow either. This is WKOK Sunbury.